All right, I'm going to start with a prayer, and then we'll jump right in. Amen? God, Holy Father, thank you so much just for your grace, Lord, for waking us up, for allowing us to be a part of your body, God. God, I pray that you be with this service, Lord, that our worship will be accepted acceptable to you. I pray that you move through us as your vessels, and God, say the words and the things that are pleasing to you and that you want us to say. God, help us be directed by the Spirit. Father, help us to have our hearts and our minds open, God, and to learn to draw closer to you. God, we love you. We thank you. We pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, everybody, good morning. So, as you know, we're doing the series on untangling the Reformation. And our theme is obedient faith, right? I think Peter talked about it a few times, you know, that pendulum. And Perry's going to come back next week and talk about the swing of the pendulum, right? But ideally, we'd like to be right there in the middle. And so you have obedience and faith, right? These two, and this is our theme scripture. I know we've seen this. These are the different entanglements that we've grown up with. I talked a few weeks ago about being in the Catholic faith, and so I know all about that. But these are just some of them. You guys have seen this before, so I'll move right along. This is important, though. This one, if you remember back when Alan first started the series, he talked about why do we need to do this, right? And this still is convicting to me, and it should be for us. You read this, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you ignore the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. And he's not talking about, like, let's go out and be the most knowledgeable person in the world, right? He's talking about knowledge of God, the word of God. Amen? And when you talk about, you know, we talk about the Catholic Church, we talk about where we came from, the Reformation, how all those things were formed, and, you know, as you go through and you see all the different denominations that are on today, that knowledge, that education, but knowledge of the Scripture and the conviction therein is crucial, right? Because if we all stayed in the same line, that wouldn't exist, would it? If all of us held to the knowledge, if all of us held to that one truth, that one belief, this slide wouldn't even exist for us. It'd be non-existent. And so it's critical. And so I look at this class, I'm honored to be to do it apart with Alan and Peter and Perry. And as you go through, it's convicting. So kind of run through, we talked about that. It was the lead in. My slide piece will work here. Hold on. It's trying. Okay, you remember that? I did that a few weeks ago. That is a picture of me if you weren't here. I was Ultra Boy, right? These are the pieces. You know, how tangled up are you? This is me, right? You remember? We talked about this. If you weren't here, here you are. I was for the sacraments, Catholic Church. Okay, a reminder, we went back to Catholic Church. Catholic meant universal, right? It was the one true church that started with, and then it kind of went off the rails. So that was... Remember that one of the big takeaways from the Catholic Church was that, you know, the doctrine still today is that Scripture and tradition are kind of looked at as equal, right? And a lot of that is what drove the Reformation, right? Reformation, to be reformed, right? To reform it, okay? Because as Perry talked about the other week and as we've looked at, there were abuses that were done in these names, and so... this is how we get here. So the five solas, both Perry and Peter covered these with Martin Luther. I hope you guys remember. Went through it. I went back and listened to it. I kind of went on a binge lesson. I listened, I think, 4 hours straight of classes. I think I was shaking, just the amount of knowledge and wisdom. But I wanted to go back through it again, and it is awesome. And I encourage, let me just ask, by show of hands, how many of you actually gone on our website and looked at the classes, any of the classes? Amen. Okay. It's, and I say that only because let's be like the Bereans, right? Go back and read this stuff. Go back. I challenge you. Go back and read it for yourself. Have your own conviction, right? Study it, not only for yourself, but so that you can help others. Because you may not have come from this, but there are people that are, right? Don't. I think some of us, you know, we look at me and think, Martin Luther, we think, oh, we're not that. But those are the Lutherans, right? The Calvinists or the Presbyterians. Heck, my dad was Presbyterian. He converted to Catholicism because in order to get married, you had to both be Catholic. Okay? So I'm more jacked up than I even said because I'm a little bit of Presbyterian too. Okay? All over the place. All right? Okay, and then, like we said, Alan last week did talk about TULIP. I know a lot of people didn't know what TULIP was, other than the flower, of course. Okay, so I thought that was awesome, and I'm going to go here because the thing that I'm going to talk about are two of these items here: unconditional election and the preservation of the saints. Okay, and I think Alan alluded to those, and so I'm going to dive in those a little bit differently. But okay, let's take a level set here. You know, you look at this, and this is the little graph up there. This is world Christianity, okay? 31% of the world is Christian, or claims to be Christian, okay? 69% other religions, everything else you can think of, all right? The biggest of those, as you can see, is Catholic, followed by who? Who's after that? Protestant, right? The Reformation. Remember a Protestant protest, okay? All these people, okay? And then you look at that, I got to break down all the major Protestant churches. Look at those numbers. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And if you've been listening, right, or if you've gone back and listened to these classes, people are confused, right? They're tangled up. They don't know, right? And that's what my first thing here. Why does all this matter, right? Who grew up Catholic? Okay. What about, forgive me if I just say Protestant, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, anybody? Okay. Baptist? Church of Christ? Okay. Amen. So we got a good distribution, yeah? Okay. That's why I was curious. Where do you fall on this? Like I said, I'm split-brained. So, all right. Unconditional election, predestination. Okay, this was the article that were stated by the tree of God for the manifestation of his glory. Some men and angels are predestined unto everlasting life, another foreordained to everlasting death. This is Article 3. This is back when I think Alan taught on this last week. Okay, so predestination, that you really don't choose. It's chosen for you. You really have nothing to do with that. Okay. If that's really true, it's kind of depressing almost, you know? I mean, I'm just saying. Because you're sitting there and you're like, you know, I'm a bit of a Marvel buff. Perry knows that. You know, if anybody saw the one before the last, I think it was Infinity Wars. Anybody see that? Anybody, do I have any fans? Okay. You remember how he basically, Thanos split them down and said, okay, I'm going to wipe out half of the universe, right? And you had, you know, you're sitting here and the guy next to you is gone. You know, I mean, you had no choice in that. You didn't get to choose. They didn't get to choose. You know, some of your favorite characters, Spider-Man. Spider-Man's gone. I'm like, what? Come on, man. But similar, right? This is that concept that you have nothing to do with that. Thanos is in charge. Not really, but it's basically saying that you really have no choice in this. Okay, and this is, the scripture this is based on is Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. There are other scriptures, but this is the main one that deals with predestination. Okay? And I guess if you just read this, that's the only scripture you read, you may come to the conclusion that we are predestined. We really don't have a choice in the matter. But we're gonna look at that a little more. Because what I want to talk about with this, and whether it's for, you know, for whether how you grew up and believed, or your family, like I said, I'm half brain there, or your friends. I think this is useful. So, you know, look at what I've got highlighted here. These are comments. I want to call it out. There's a website called eternalcall.com. I actually did a really good commentary and breakdown, good encapsulation. This is all over there, but I need to give the credit. So you look at this and you say, you know, who is this us? Who's he talking about, right? You know, who it is, those who would be in him. And then you look in here, you know, before the creation of the love. So the same chosen before the creation of the world are the same Christians who would walk in him and in holiness without blame in love. What are they predestined us for? For what? The adoption of sonship. How? Through Jesus Christ. So we are adopted as children if we live by Jesus Christ. Okay? So what am I trying to say? Great question. God predestined the class of people, not individuals, right? So it wasn't, if you go back to Thanos, it wasn't Spider-Man, it wasn't this guy, right? It was, you know, it was a class of people, right, ever? You know, but God, it's a class of people. So that class of people, not me, not Steve, not Perry individually, but the class of people, the people, right? If you go back, what class, right? The I guess I did break down. I'm sorry. Right here, you know, he basically predestined a class who would follow the predestined way. This is the way that he predestined us to come to salvation, right? So that class who follows that way, okay, are those who will be saved. So believing in his son Jesus for the forgiveness of sins would be in him, would live in holiness without blame, and would be in love. That's what the scripture said, right? Those are the four things that he said in there. So it's not individuals. It's the class, right? Christians. Okay? And the way that we go, okay? It isn't. So he did predestine how it was going to happen. To who it was going to happen as a group, right? Not as an individual. Does that make sense? You follow me? Okay. Good. And then here you go. Which class of persons? It is those who willingly submit to the foreknown God's plan of salvation and redemption, which involves believing and obeying Jesus Christ and entering in that fellowship that is described as being in him. And that, you know, write that script, Hebrews 5, 8 through 9. If you go back to our theme, we talked about obedient faith, right? Those two balance, right? The pendulum right in the middle. There it is. Believing and obeying. Amen? Okay, what am I doing on time? Okay, good. I'm right there, right down the middle. I've got two things. This is the second one. I went long last time, so I'm trying to be better about it. Okay. So, once saved, always saved. Who grew up with that? Not that many. Okay. Based on some of you, you grew up where you should have, but maybe you didn't believe it. Just saying. I'm just going by numbers. You know, looking at numbers, that's what you should have believed, but it's okay. That's all right. All right, so John 10, 27 to 28. Okay, we read that. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Like, again, we just read that. Like, awesome, right? That's great. Yeah, my sheep, I got it. I'm never going to leave. You know, it's that's great. Okay, but does anybody know what context that John 10, 26, 28 is being written in? Does anybody know the context? Anyone? What's that? Yeah, it does talk about that. It does talk about that. But I'll jump to it in the interest of time. This is the context of Jesus being the Messiah. Okay, because if you go back and read John, and I'll flip forward, okay? We go back a few, right? And he says in John 10, 7 through 9, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, to your point, amen? But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And this is Jesus establishing himself as the Messiah, right? Not the intention of salvation and whether it's, you know, an act and it will always be there, right? I mean, it's Jesus' words is still true, right? If we're really a sheep and we continue to be his sheep, right? We will have salvation, amen? Okay? I'm not going to get into too many sheep analogies, but you think about it. There are sheep that die, that do wander, correct? They do warn again, you know, David saved sheep from what? The lion and the bear? Okay? Because sheep do wander off and they do die. So you can make that connection the way you want, right? I'm not saying, you know, but you follow me, right? Is that there's a possibility. It's not a guarantee. Remember, context is very, very important. Okay. All right. Two parts of this, once saved, always saved. All right. The first part, of course, is once saved. The second part is always saved. So I have my Captain Obvious cape on, sorry. But I'll break it down this way because I want to deal with the first. So once saved, salvation isn't a one-time act. Does that surprise anybody? Okay. Yes, when you first, you know, are baptized, and, you know, you repent of your sins and you're baptized and you call on the name of the Lord. That is the initial act, right? But are you done there? I guess if you pop up and you die right there, you are, and you get to go to heaven. Amen? That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, for you, maybe not for everybody else, but, you know, amen. So, but, yeah, but I'm going to contend it's not just a one-time act, okay? You look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To us that are being saved, present participle. Okay, if you might remember the Catholic Church, I got into past participle and present participle and future past tense, all that stuff for the grammatics out there. Go back and read it if you're interested. It's important, right? Present participle, those who are being saved. Didn't say those who were once saved. Okay, and notice, it's also kind of encouraging in a way that it says, for the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. It's also current for them, right? It's active. It means they don't necessarily, they're not predestined to die either. They're perishing now, but it didn't say who perished, right? It's not past tense. Who are perishing, okay? And again, like we talked about, because even if not for us, for our friends, for our family, this is important, right? That we could reach out. For those who may be perishing, right? Bring them the good news, amen? Okay, so it's good news, honestly, for both sides, right? Both those who are in him and those who are not, because you still have a chance, okay? All right, Jude. And it's always funny when you reference Jude, because it's only one book, right? One chapter. I always debate, do I do one, colon, whatever. Anyway, I just referenced the verse. So there you go. It's this is like teacher geekdom, apologies, so whatever. So you see Jude 3. Yes, there's no Jude chapter 3. It's Jude verse 3. Forgive me. Okay, so I'm going to read this, right? Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, amen, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to God's holy people. If it was a one-time act, why would we need to contend? Why would we need to contend for the faith? Why would we need to do that? We could, right? I've been saved. I can just kick back. I don't need to do nothing because I'm saved, right? I'm good. You're going out to help you? I'm good. What, you going to serve? I'm good. Follow me? We have to contend for the faith. It's a continuation, okay? And look, this is kind of free. This goes back to the, if you read Jude, and Perry and I actually were talking about Jude yesterday. It's kind of funny the way the Spirit works. But, you know, go back and read Jude. It's an awesome book. I don't think it's read very often, but it's very convicting. And this is free. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroy those who did not believe. Again, you know, it's Old Testament, but even back then, once saved, always saved, foreign concept didn't exist. Okay, Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. Okay, now I'm not here to say it's by your works. No, that is not what I'm saying. Okay, it is by God's grace. We know that, right? And our faith in that. It's not the acts, but to work out, to continue, to contend for your faith, yes? With fear and trembling. Okay? It's action. Okay? It's active. It's not a one-time act. Amen? Okay? I got one more for you on this, just in case. Okay? Matthew 10:22. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Okay? Not that you're saved and you're good, right? But the one who stands firm. Again, right? We got to continue, just like you said. That's, I always say, and you'll see it in a second, right? Christianity is not a cafeteria, okay? It's not. It's not Golden Corral. You don't get to pick what you want. And that's life, because God said so. But seriously, you can't just pick out what you want and what you don't want, right? And you can't just take one scripture and not take the other. And it's dangerous if you do, because you could be misled. We all can. We're all in danger of that. It's not. And that kind of leads into this. Always saved would be a nice idea if Christianity was a cafeteria, yeah? I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? Did it once, I'm good. Always saved, don't worry about nothing else, ever. Now, again, if you contend for your faith, right? If you work out your fear, you don't have to worry. Amen? But you have to continue, right? It's a continuation. Okay, so I go back to Jude here. Checking on my time. Jude 4, the verse 4. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Now, I don't think, you know, when we look at the Reformation, that Martin Luther or John Calvin were trying to come in to say, hey, I'm going to pervert this, right? Because I want a license for immorality. But it has been taken like that since then, right? That I'm good. I can live however I want. Right? Paul also addresses that elsewhere in the scriptures, in Romans, Corinthians. But there are those who have slipped in. Okay? And if you want the cafeteria style of Christianity, you can find somebody that'll tell you that you're good. Do whatever you want. Go to the club, do whatever you want. Come on in, you're good to go. First Corinthians 9:27. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. If even Paul says this, I mean, Paul, really? I mean, he even said, look, you'll see later I have a scripture that's, he kind of comes to the end and it's like, amen, I fought the good fight. We'll look at that. But don't be disqualified for the prize. Paul had a sober understanding of this, right? He understood working out my salvation with fear and trembling, right? Of contending for the faith, of these other pieces. What's amazing for us when we talk about it, and I mentioned it earlier about going back and reading, is, you know, in these times, the New Testament didn't exist, right? They had all been written. The guys were writing their letters. And these were letters that were being passed around to the churches. And they, you know, once they got assembled and we got it and we have our foundation. I mean, I think both Perry and Peter talked about it, the printing press, right? Or was it the iPhone? Yeah, it was the iPhone. Right. So that modern invention that allowed for us to be able to have the scripture. We are blessed. It's amazing how easy and how many languages the Bible is written in. Amen? And these guys were doing it without that. So how much more should we be doing it with it? Amen? We know these scriptures. These are scriptures, again, talking about the always saved part, right? This warns about sins that will keep you, who's you, Christians, that's us, me, we, from entering God's kingdom, right? I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we know, most of us know Galatians 5, 19, 21. In 1 Corinthians, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? He also, there, go back and read it. There's more to it than that. List it out. But again, talking to Christians here. Not always saved, right? We gotta continue the faith. Okay, and then here I have more direct refuting scripture of this always saved. Hebrews 10:26. This one's a little scary, right? A little convicting, to say the least. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Does that sound like always saved? Right? We have to continue to work out our salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Amen. Okay? Again, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. So, falling away. It's in the Scriptures, right? Again, if always saved, you wouldn't also have falling away, right? Okay. 2 Peter 2:20-22. Again, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were in the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. This one, ever since I've been a Christian, always very convicting for me because it's, you know, it's like if me or somebody else I know would ever walk away, how miserable would that be, right? Because you know the truth. There's no peace. There's no peace. You know, I think of it like King Saul, right? That's who I think of it. You know, had that election, that call to be king, and then disobeyed God, and he had to have people play instruments to soothe his soul, right? How miserable that would be, right? You think about how miserable his life is, how much, you know, rage and everything else that he built up with. And that's how I think of it. Not a good feeling, not comfortable, but it's convicting. Okay, always saved, conditional. Consider therefore, this is Romans 11:22, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Okay, this talks about branches and engrafting of branches. Go back and read Romans 11. It talks about grafting them back in, and there's a lot that goes into this. So I don't want to take it out of context, but again, provided that you continue in his kindness. Again, looking at our salvation, right? Continuing forward. All right. Like all of our classes, these slides will be posted, on our site, so you could go back. I want to give you some homework. I'll give it a second, if you will. Write a couple of these down. You can go back and reference it later. A lot of Hebrews here, a couple of Revelations. These are more scriptures that talk about this, that talk about this continuing, contending, right? Being active in our faith about having to continue and not just settling, right? But going up against once saved, always saved. And like I said, if you don't get a chance to write them all down, come back and grab it from the website. Okay, let me give you some good news. We can still have confidence in salvation, right? If we keep the faith like we talked about. And here it is, right? I reference Paul. He says, right, I don't want to be disqualified for the prize. I'm going to beat my body. I'm going to make it my slave. I'm going to be disciplined about it. I'm going to contend for my faith, right? I'm going to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And here he is at the end, right? Look at what he says. I'm going to read it. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Amen. This is for us. If you keep the faith, right? That you can sit there on that day when you know your time's near. You're going to say, hey, I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Okay? There is a store, a crown of righteousness for you. Amen? It's there. Okay? And I'm going to finish up here. I know the other midweek, Alan did a piece on, you know, how can we be secure in salvation? Because I don't want to just say, hey, once saved, always saved. Say, look, that's a great idea, but obviously there's scriptures that we need to go up against it, but that you need to be any less secure about your salvation, right? And so Alan did a class in midweek. Like I said, I think a lot, we had midweek where we split up, you know, with all our different groups. Go back and listen to it. It's on the site, but it's based on 1 John. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's why it was written. And how can we be secure? Alan, it's a very brief summary of your class. I think it was almost 50 minutes, so this is very brief. These are the highlight points, if you will, the Cliff Notes version of walking in the light. Love your brothers and sisters. Do not love the world. Keep his commandments and practice righteousness. Please go back and listen to it. Go back and read 1 John. Take it for your quad times. It is convicting. It's a great reminder for us, especially here in America. I'm telling you, it's like we all are so busy. It's the demands of corporate culture, of our families, of everything else. These are real challenges for us right here. Not for the people that are in church today or whatever. These are challenges for us. I want to go to heaven. And I want to see you guys in heaven, amen? Right? Walk in the light. Okay? Go back and read 1 John. Listen to Alan's class. Amen? All right, I'm out of time. What's next? We talked about it. The pendulum effect. Mr. Parks will be bringing that to us. The recap of the Reformation, all the things that we've had. And then our application today. Okay, we've been hitting this as we've been going, but you know, Perry's gonna bring it home for us and really help us out. I really look forward to that. We're gonna be coming back with Faith Only Original Sin. I believe Alan, you're doing that, and then you get me one more time. And good or bad, but amen. So I'm gonna talk more about predestination and free will. We kind of hit on those today, but you know, you think about Pharaoh. We'll be hitting that a couple weeks. Also, as part of this, we talked with the elders. I want to thank you. We have a chance to ask some questions. Okay, there's been a lot of stuff covered. There might be some questions that we haven't hit on. Things are going. We're going to reserve our Wednesday midweek, November 13th, okay, to be able to do a Q&A. Right? So, Perry, myself, Alan, Peter Berry. He'll bring 1 Peter 3 with him. Some of his jokes that he brings in his classes. But seriously, what I'm asking though is give us a little bit of time to prepare some of these, because a lot of these are difficult topics, right? So that we're covering. Please submit your questions by that Sunday, November 9th. Okay. And you can give them, to any of us. You can give them to the elders. What else, Alan? How else can we submit it? Okay. We might just include Steve just to bring in all that wisdom and knowledge. But yeah, there we go. But so that's what is that? Not this week, following week. Yeah, so you got, I think, what, two midweeks and two Sundays? Is that right? I think, yeah. So, but think about it, right? Go back. If you haven't had a chance, like we talked about, go back, look at the, you know, read through the classes. Bring your questions. We want to be able to do this, right? This is the edification of our faith so that we all, right, can contend and work out our salvation through fear and trembling. Amen? Amen. Okay. And last slide, just bringing it back home, right? Obedient faith, our slide. So, amen. That's our class. Good work, your kids. Thank you very much.